2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Israel's military says friendly fire from Israeli forces killed three hostages. Robert Berger from Jerusalem.
The military says they were mistaken for terrorists during a gun battle. The bodies were taken back to Israel, where it was confirmed that they were hostages.
A judge ruled journalists with the Daily Mirror hacked Prince Harry's cell phone, awarding him $180,000. The judge says the former editor of the tabloid, Piers Morgan, knew about it, which he denies.
To be clear, I had then and still have zero knowledge of how that particular story was gathered.
Homelessness is up 12% in the U.S., according to a government survey. The new data will help some homeless in San Francisco, according to advocate Jennifer Friedenbach.
The city has been dramatically undercounting homeless families. And what that means is when it comes time to allocate resources, homeless families in San Francisco have been getting a short shift.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Wisconsin corn mill agrees to pay close to $2 million in penalties and make major safety improvements. That's after the explosion in Cambria 6 years ago that killed six workers and injured some others. Didion Milling is required to develop a safety system and work closely with federal safety regulators. Two company officials were convicted in October of falsifying documents and obstructing the OSHA investigation. Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says a deal approved by state university leaders this week is, quote, just the first step. Wisconsin's most powerful Republican says he wants to eliminate what he calls cancerous diversity practices on campus. Milwaukee State Representative Dora Drake tweets, the fight for underrepresented groups continues. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The city of Chautauqua will receive a portion of the over $400 million of funding for wastewater infrastructure in Wisconsin. The city will receive over $5 million to help fund a new wastewater treatment plant, a project that already broke ground earlier this year. The grants were announced on Wednesday by Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and the Department of Natural Resources. According to a WQOW report, City Clerk Mark Eby said the DNR told the city that their previous wastewater treatment facility was at the end of its life. It could cost Wisconsin nearly $1 billion to replace all the lead pipes in the state. According to a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel report, the cost of removing the roughly 150,000 lead service lines and the 229,000 pipes that may also contain lead could range from $620,000 to nearly $1 billion. Wisconsin has already received federal funding through the bipartisan infrastructure bill to replace the lead lines, but will need much more to complete the project. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Dane County Executive Joe Parisi. Joe, let me ask you. You've made a little news. You have declared what in regard to the Twitter, now known as the X, and the Dane County Municipal Accounts. Joe, have you banned Twitter?
Well, we're no longer going to be using Twitter, I think is probably the...
Is that the same as banning Twitter, sir?
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Badgers volleyball season comes to an end. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Badgers women's volleyball team tied the match at one apiece, but the Texas Longhorns, who won the national championship last year, took over up 15-3 in the third set and never looked back. Texas advances to the NCAA finals on Sunday against Nebraska. Wisconsin returns home today with a final season record of 30 wins against just 4 losses. Men's college basketball, the Badgers with a win at home, 75-60 over Jacksonville State. NFL, the Packers have a problem. A.J. Dillon, their most productive running back this season, suffered a broken thumb in the loss to the Giants Monday night. It doesn't look good for Dillon to play Sunday against the Buccaneers.
If there's some hurt, not making it a bigger issue than it is down the road. And then the next question is, will I be able to go out there and positively impact the team with me being out there? And so, you know, we still got some days left in the week. And, you know, those questions I got to figure out myself.
That's Packers running back A.J. Dillon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Stuck under mostly cloudy skies today with rain rolling in soon. But high temperatures, though, not too bad, rising into the low 40s. However, tonight, as temperatures crash to the mid-30s, don't be shocked if a few snowflakes start to mix in. Right now, 42.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin. Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Bob of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Bob. What's in your mind today?
Well, my mind is, I went to a conference last month on dreams, and dreams have nothing to do with the rational part of the brain and everything to do with the emotional part of the brain. And I'm thinking that's maybe Trump's secret, is that he develops these elaborate stories that almost seem like dreams, you know, about stolen elections and all this stuff that he makes up from scratch. And that sinks into his followers' brains at an emotional level. And as we all unfortunately know, emotion trumps reason in politics most of the time. So I think that's one way of looking at how we're getting bamboozled by the big fool.
That's an interesting hypothesis, and you may not be far off. I'll tell you some other psychological and psychiatric, historical inquiry, and that is the function of the big lie and how people are inclined to believe it. And they're inclined to believe big lies more than they are, or more readily than they are small lies. And big lies that are repeated really get a wide currency. And the studies were largely about the Nazis in the 30s. You know, they would say things about the Treaty of Versailles, about Jewish people, about Poland attacking them, and all this sort of business. And the Treaty of Versailles that ended the First World War obviously had some things in it that were objectionable to the Germans, and in retrospect, most economists would say were a very foolish thing for the rest of, for the Allies to have imposed. But then they go beyond that, the Nazis talking about how they lost the First World War, blaming it on Jewish people, blaming it on this and that. And all these lies culminated in 1939. When they decided to attack Poland, so they set up a fake attack from Polish territory into Germany, and the Polish people weren't doing it. And then they said, oh, we got to defend ourselves. And everybody said, oh, yeah. And it was very similar to the first Iraq war. I should say the second Iraq war. You know, after 9/11, we went into Afghanistan to get Osama bin Laden. But the idea behind going into Iraq was based on a lie that he had weapons of mass destruction and all this. And everybody got on the bandwagon, except for very few people. And that was a lie. Well, Trump is full of lies, but his biggest lie is that the election was rigged last time, that he didn't win. He did win. He won because he's no good. He was a lousy president, and he's simply no good. And he's untrustworthy, unreliable, and he betrays us to Russia, and everybody will pay him. That's why he lost. That's why he lost. So, I think you're on the money, and I think there is an emotional component to it, and it's an interesting poetic way you just put it, Bob. Appreciate your call. When I get back to a comment of Wisco Paul about a missing binder or missing documents, he was right on the money. You may not be aware of the illusion, but this just came down. I first saw it today. I saw it on the news last night. Several days before Trump left the White House, so he had to leave the White House by noon on January 20. Several days before that, he asked that a binder of documents from the FBI that documented what they called the Crossfire Hurricane. That was the investigation that the FBI had done about Russian intrusion in the 2016 election and Russian intrusion to benefit Trump. And it's 10 inches thick. The last people who saw it said it was 10 inches thick. And it contained a lot of information on that Crossfire Hurricane investigation. Now, they had redacted that. Trump ordered them to redact some things, quite a few pages, actually. And then he was going to issue, he said, the remaining, the redacted version to Republican congressmen who were favorable to him and to media who were favorable to him, Fox and that kind of thing. But he said, I want to see the original binder. Well, they made a mistake of sending him the original binder, and I find it very hard to believe they didn't keep a copy, but right now the indication is they may not have kept a copy of the original, just of the redacted copy. It disappeared. He kept it. When he left, remember, he took a ton of stuff. He shipped boxes of stuff. None of that was investigated by anybody because he was the president till 12 o'clock on noon on January 20th. And that binder he took with him, and that binder was not found during the FBI search. And Wisco Paul said, you know, maybe it's gone to Russia. There's plenty that went to Russia. Some of the documents that went to Russia resulted in our undercover agents being outed and executed. And you can say, well, there's no evidence, if you're defending Trump, there's no evidence that Trump actually sent a list of our undercover agents with their addresses and phone numbers to Moscow and Beijing. First of all, I don't know that. But secondly, let's assume for the sake of argument that he didn't. Intelligence agencies, when they see what kind of secret stuff their adversaries got, for instance, us, they can reverse engineer and detect who leaked it, who gave it to us. Why is that? Because in all of these areas, there are very limited numbers of people who knew it, who put it together, and by process of elimination, they can go through them and know who's loyal, and there's always an outlier, which is our guy, and that's what Trump did for him. So I don't know that Crossfire Hurricane Binder went to Russia. It details what Russia did to help Trump. I think that it was kept out because Trump did not want the copies of documents that he redacted to be disclosed to people. Now, what do we do with this? What do we do about this information? This is a very serious thing. We know what he took to Mar-a-Lago. We know that he sent some of it to Bedminster. There's video of him loading a plane to avoid the subpoena before the FBI search. At what point does the public, his constituents, by that I mean his base, say, you know, this is a bridge too far? The problem is that just came down, word came down, that Eileen Mercedes Cannon in Mar-a-Lago has turned down Jack Smith's request that there be a designation of confidential classified documents used in the case in January. She said, no, I'll decide that in March. March is 3 months away. March is 3 months away. Why is that significant? It's significant because in the case where you have classified documents, and sadly, this binder is not among them because he didn't keep it around for the FBI to find. We don't know where it is. But very sadly, when you have a case with classified documents, you can't just whip them out and show them to a jury who have no security clearance. If they are super classified, let's say, a list of undercover agents who'd be killed. You give a description of it, even to the judge. The judge doesn't get to see it. The jury doesn't get to see it. They get to see a description of the document that's not classified. The reason for that is to protect our secrets, and that has been the law for a long time. Now, what Jack Smith wanted to do was have the judge set, this is Mercedes now, the wolf that kisses the mistletoe in his belt buckle, have that little wolf say, okay, by middle of, say January 15, by January 15, I want Smith to designate what classified documents he's going to use and whether or not they're so secret that he's only going to do descriptions of them. And then I'll give Trump 30 days to respond. I'll make a decision, and the trial will go ahead in May. It's set for May. What she did is say, no, Smith, take 3 months. Take till March 15. And Smith said, I don't want to take till March 15. I want to keep the May trial date. She said, well, we'll see. Take to March 15. Now, can Smith go ahead and do it by January 15? Of course he can. But that means Trump will have till April of 15 to object. And all she's doing is slow rolling this, snowballing it. And then by the time he objects, it's not going to be a May trial date. And then she'll have vacations and she'll put off other things. She'll set the trial for next December or January of 25. That is what she's doing. And I fault a couple of people in this. She, in particular, never should have been made a federal judge. She was born in Colombia. First-generation people have contributed enormously to our country. The Vindman brothers, Colonel Vindman from Ukraine, terrific, and many, many others. But the one thing you can't do is give a first-generation person, even if they're citizens, a lifetime appointment. Because if you make a mistake with a federal judge, they can stick the knife in you for a long time. And she's a very young person, and she will stick it to us for a long time. So what if you went up to the Court of Appeals, the 11th Circuit? They're Trump judges, but even if they were all Obama judges or Clinton or Biden judges, very, very rare for the Court of Appeals to say, we're going to control the schedule. You know, that's people make extensions all the time. She has found a sneaky, devious way to get this thing kicked out beyond the election. So if Trump wins, God forbid, the first thing his attorney general will do is to fire Jack Smith and put in a motion to dismiss the case against Trump in Mar-a-Lago. Because they did do that. Remember, Roger Stone was about to go down and Barr came in and reversed everything. A crooked attorney general and a crooked president can do that. And you must understand that if you're going to vote for Trump, and you should not, in my opinion, but if you do, you're voting for a crooked president and undoubtedly a crooked attorney general because he's done that before. But the question that Wisco Paul raised is, what about the binder? And I have no idea where it is. And nobody else has any idea where it is. Nobody else has any idea of where it is. Coming up, Elise Stefanik is the hatchet person for the Republican Party, files another frivolous complaint.
Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna...
93.5 The Tap.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org. Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Sturdy old part of the city.
844-967-2789. You know, Lisa Stefanik, she's the number three in the House hierarchy in the Republican Party. She's the caucus chair. She took Liz Cheney had that position. Lisa Stefanik's from upstate New York, up near close to the Canadian border. She's bad news. At one time, she was a moderate to liberal Republican, criticized Trump incessantly. But then when they groomed her and cultivated her, now she likes her status as number three, and she is an absolute Trumper. They use her to file complaints because she may not be a lawyer, but you don't have to be a lawyer to do this. File complaints against judges, any judge, in a case where Trump is a defendant. She filed one against Judge Erdogan in New York, didn't go anywhere. It's a joke. Everybody knows it's a joke. No, she's a joke. But here's what she just did. And this may be a judge whose name you recall. She filed a judicial misconduct complaint in Washington, D.C. against Judge Beryl Howell, B-E-R-Y-L-H-O-W-E-L-L. Judge Howell oversaw various January 6 cases. And that means, remember, there were 1,000 people that were charged, and I think 600 or more have been either convicted. A few were acquitted, not many. So many going to jail for a little bit, some going to jail for a couple over 20 years. And Judge Beryl Howell was tough as nails in all of these things, and she's done a lot of January 6 cases. Well, she was given an award by a group called the Women's White Collar Defense Association. They had a gala, and what it does is it's women lawyers who do white-collar crime defense, and they wanted to honor Judge Beryl Howell as a woman who is a distinguished federal judge, and she's sensitive about defendants' rights and about enforcing the law. And the topic of her speech was the importance of facts. In other words, not ideology, not anger, facts. What are the facts? The facts, ma'am, just the facts. Remember Dragnet? No, you don't. That was a very long time ago. The facts, ma'am, just the facts. Okay. Well, here's what she said. This is what the judicial misconduct complaint has been filed about. She said, my D.C. colleague, District of Columbia colleagues and I, the other judges, regularly see the impact of big lies at the sentencing of hundreds of individuals who have been convicted for offensive conduct on January 6th, when they disregarded the law and the certification of the 2020 presidential election at the Capitol. By that, she was saying that those defendants, many of them, misstated the facts deliberately, untruthfully, saying that the thing was rigged and all that when 60 judges said it wasn't, and that that is what impelled them to break the law and beat up, and in some cases, cause brain damage to Capitol Police, and why it's important to have the facts right. I agree with her. Anybody would agree with her. She went on to say, as district judges, we are all about the facts. Stefanik complained about that, said she should be disciplined. She also said, Stefanik, that Beryl Howell committed a judicial offense by reading a book called Democracy Awakening, and mentioning that fact in this awards dinner at a gala, accepting an award. Democracy Awakening is by Heather Cox Richardson, who's a blogger, very, very good. I read her stuff every day. And the quotation said this: the U.S. is at a crossroads, teetering on the brink of authoritarianism. Pearl Hell didn't mention Donald Trump. She didn't mention Republicans. She read a book by Heather Cox Richardson called Democracy Awakening and quoted a line from it. We are at a crossroads teetering on the brink of authoritarianism. Well, yeah. How about January 6th? How about contesting the peaceful transfer of power? How about defendants, many of them appearing before her? And she's a fair censor. She didn't throw the book at a lot of people, but saying, I had a right to go up and beat up police officers, carry guns up to the Capitol, criminally trespass, almost stomp an officer to death, break windows, steal stuff from people's offices, bring up a gallows to hang the vice president, go through the halls looking to murder Nancy Pelosi and go, oh, Nancy, oh, Nancy, resulting in the shooting of one of the insurrectionists. And we had a right to do that because the election was rigged, which was, of course, false. That was the nature of her talk. She did not mention Trump, didn't talk anything about he ginned it all up, but people were arrested there. They did those offenses. They beat up cops. Tell you what, you beat up a cop some other time, you're going to get a lot worse than 30 days in jail. And they should have gotten a lot worse than 30 days in jail. So what do we do with Elise Stefanik? It is actually a criminal offense to put in a false complaint, certify it and all that. That's frivolous. Now, they're not going to prosecute her for it. And as I think about it, she may not be a lawyer, so you can't disbar her. But this information has to get out. She's not a person of character, at least Stefanik. This is such a frivolous complaint, and she filed a frivolous complaint against Judge Erdogan as well. She has to be flushed out for what she is. That you say New York Republican, you think moderate. She's not a moderate Republican. Nobody in their right mind would file something like this against Beryl Howell, a very, very well-regarded judge, and basically lie about what they said. Go to the lines. Jean of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Jean?
Hi, Matt. Great show as usual, and I hope you have a good weekend. You've been working hard all week and keeping us woke. I'll tell you, I'm sickened by what I'm seeing these people act like. I mean, these are not Republicans of old. And God darn it, we got the most embarrassment, Ron Johnson, going on the air spreading all kinds of lies, and then he got on CNN, and then he got caught with his lies, and it's unbelievable that that guy, I wish there was a way we could recall him or get him the heck out of there, because he's a danger to our country, and it's like, what in the world? I mean, why in the world would somebody like that put himself in front of the camera and spread lies? But I do have a idea. You know, these people in power here are doing everything they can to cover up their activities that either led to or that were, you know, that were during or after the insurrection and the attempt to overthrow our election and to throw out our votes in Wisconsin and other places. I mean, this is so unbelievable, Matt. I mean, these people keep aiding and abetting, covering up, and I hope people who are doing this investigation are paying close attention, write down every one of these things, because, boy, if we were involved in a crime like that, and to me, that's the crime of the century, and a crime of the century in the state of Wisconsin. And,
right. Thanks a lot. Coming up, there's going to be a lot of news. There's going to be a lot of weather. And you will not believe what Kevin McCarthy said about Matt Gaetz. I see you on the line. Do not hang up. We'll get to you very shortly.
Girl, there's a better life for me and you. Believe me, baby. I know it, baby. You know it, too.
Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm.
Hey,
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin students pursuing careers in healthcare will now enter the workforce more quickly and easily. The state's public and private colleges and universities have a deal with the Department of Safety and Professional Services. It will streamline the process to get new graduates their professional licenses. Holiday shopping creates opportunities for scam artists. Courtney Anklam is a fraud expert with AARP Wisconsin. She says shoppers need to be careful in brick-and-mortar stores, too.
It's just making sure that gift cards haven't been tampered with before you purchase it. You can see the PIN number on the back when it should be covered and stuff like that.
Anklam says a lot of bogus retailers promote themselves aggressively on social media. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The city of Chautauqua will receive a portion of the over $400 million of funding for wastewater infrastructure in Wisconsin. The city will receive over $5 million to help fund a new wastewater treatment plant, a project that already broke ground earlier this year. The grants were announced on Wednesday by Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and the Department of Natural Resources. According to a WQOW report, City Clerk Mark Eby said the DNR told the city that their previous wastewater treatment facility was at the end of its life. The Lake Altoona District is set to remove double the usual amount of sediment from the Eau Claire River. According to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, Lake Altoona collects sediments at an extremely high rate, meaning dredging the river is essential to stopping it from becoming a marsh rather than a reservoir that protects Eau Claire from flooding. This year, officials intend to remove 60,000 cubic yards of sand from the river, and the $400,000 project should take almost a month to complete. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
The Badgers volleyball season comes to an end. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Badgers women's volleyball team tied the match at one apiece, but the Texas Longhorns, who won the national championship last year, took over up 15-3 in the third set and never looked back. Texas advances to the NCAA finals on Sunday against Nebraska. Wisconsin returns home today with a final season record of 30 wins against just 4 losses. Men's college basketball, the Badgers with a win at home, 75-60 over Jacksonville State. NFL, the Packers have a problem. A.J. Dillon, their most productive running back this season, suffered a broken thumb in the loss to the Giants Monday night. It doesn't look good for Dillon to play Sunday against the Buccaneers.
If there is some hurt, not making it a bigger issue than it is down the road. And then the next question is, will I be able to go out there and positively impact the team with me being out there? And so, you know, we still got some days left in the week. And, you know, those questions I got to figure out myself.
That's Packers running back A.J. Dillon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Stuck under mostly cloudy skies today with rain rolling in soon. But high temperatures, though, not too bad, rising into the low 40s. However, tonight, as temperatures crash to the mid-30s, don't be shocked if a few snowflakes start to mix in. Right now, 42.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap.
(4) 4-9-6-7-2-7-8-9. Going right to the lines in order. Do not hang up. Tatter Billy of Madison, my friend, your first Western Reminder Day. Tatter Billy.
Good afternoon, Matt. I just wanted to echo your praise for Heather Cox Richardson. You know, it's so important right now to be an informed and involved citizen. And I think reading Heather Cox Richardson's daily email just puts the news in such a great historical perspective. You know, she is a history professor. I really enjoy that. And, you know, it's so important to stay informed through listening to Devil Radio, especially the fine attorneys you have on the air, yourself included, on Devil Radio. And I'd also like to suggest people check out the Progressive Democrats of America, the PDA Click Brigade, so that they can sign some petitions and take some actions, because it's just so important for us to be informed and involved. And, of course, vote.
Excellent call. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Before I get to the next caller, we just had a piece of breaking news. I just learned this myself. The jury in Washington, D.C. against Rudy Giuliani just came in with a verdict. And that's a very short deliberation period. $150 million to Shay Moss and Ruby Freeman for his destruction of their reputations and their lives. And they'll undoubtedly be in appeals and all that. But Donald Trump is a walking crime scene, and he's a walking liability scene. Everybody around him either goes to jail, is criminally charged, or gets crippling verdicts against him. $150 million just came in now by the jury, Washington, D.C., for Shay Moss and Ruby Freeman against Rudy Giuliani. And I think they got it exactly right. Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Mark?
Thanks, Matt. And to echo Jeannie there, Ron Johnson is just so completely full of it. But another guy who is full of it is Andrew Hitt, you know, another member of the fake electors conspiracy. That I would say Andrew Hitt is full of. And you can't use the word that his name rhymes with on the radio, but he is full of that at least. I mean, that none of these guys were duped. They fully well knew that what they were doing was wrong, because otherwise they would not have done it in secret. If somebody tells you we got to do this secretly, you know damn well that there's something hinky going on. So, I mean, for him to be coming out and saying this stuff, I mean, the media should just call him on it. These guys should be, you know, that... Cersei's march of shame is too good for these guys. I mean, that each and every one of them, because they all knew darn well what they're doing was wrong, and that and they should be prosecuted, and they should be shunned, I guess, for what they've done, because all these guys, you know, that Donald Trump, like you said, Donald Trump is nothing but a He's just a disease, and he infects everybody that supports him.
Right. Well, Rudy Giuliani right now is going to be, well, he doesn't have $150 million. He'll go bankrupt. But there's a wrinkle in the bankruptcy law that doesn't let you go bankrupt if you've committed fraud. Now, can defamation be fraud? I think it is. That's a bankruptcy law, a legal dispute that would be a lot of fun to research. But great call as always, Mark. Thanks a lot. We're going back to the lines. Joe in Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Joe. What's in your mind today?
Hey, Matt. Thanks. Great show as always. I did want to respond here. Apparently today we had another brilliant bit of wisdom from Republican Robin Voss. His quote was that this last deal with UW was, quote, a first step to eliminate the cancerous, as he described them, DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion practices on UW campuses. Cancerous. I would like to add, let's talk a little bit about who's included under diversity. I know he likes to talk race, and only race, but we are talking about, let's see, the race of ethnicity of Native American students, Native American soldier coming back who may need special help with something or other. We may be talking about low-income students at the UW. That's one of the other things that they try to help, or what they call first-generation students, students who've never had anybody in their family that's gone off to college, and they may need some help. But I wanted to focus on one particular area, and I think as a lawyer, you would find this an interesting tack to look at, and that is the disability of dyslexia. Dyslexia affects 5 to 10% of the American population. It doesn't mean you're stupid. It means that you have a neurological condition that makes reading and vocabulary retention sometimes difficult. So steps are taken to get around that. So I wanted to offer for your consideration, I saw a wonderful article that talked about some of the top-rated lawyers in the country who suffer from dyslexia. And included in that list is the conservative lawyer, Ted Olson, who certainly has done well with this. But I would point out somebody else who had also interested me about this. His name is David Boies. You can certainly speak to the fact that he's presented cases before the Supreme Court several times, including the case of Gore v. Bush. So I wanted to talk a little bit about what he has written about his dyslexia and what was needed on an educational level for him to gain his true potential that allowed us to have this really great lawyer. He didn't start reading till he was in third grade, and he's always said he's had a poor vocabulary. He just doesn't retain that way. And I remember hearing about him. He apparently had paralegals who he told his paralegals, I will remember everything you say, so do not give me any wrong information. I expect that everything that you give me has been vetted, because I operate on memory, and his memory was prodigious because that's the way he dealt with it. But he spoke to some people at University of Michigan and talked about the special accommodations that can really make life easier for somebody, a lawyer, a beginning lawyer going to University of Michigan, and it included audio recordings. It included text-to-speech programs. It included special fonts or accommodations in terms of extra time taking a test or being able to use a computer to take notes. Obviously, he has not had problems going ahead with this. I mean, this is diversity, folks. This is what diversity means. He is one of the 5 to 10% of the population who suffers from this disability. With the proper help, he has gone on to soar, as others have who are dyslexic. And I just wanted to bring it up, Matt, because it just drives me nuts when it diversity is only considered that the issues of race or ethnicity. It is so much broader than that. And that what can be done to meet the needs of diverse students and allow them to get a great education rather than leaving them behind, and to have Robin Voss refer to the cancer of the DEI programs. Man, is that, you know, just think of how many lawyers potential lawyers with this disability might not get served if he continues with cutting out these programs. It's a really important issue, and I think it's one that all of us should consider. Thanks a lot, Matt. Appreciate the time to talk.
Yeah, that's an excellent call. And as you accurately point out, diversity and inclusion, we're talking about Native American, indigenous people. And I encountered this fellow when I was in law school a long time ago. It's very, very lonely and difficult if you're an indigenous person on the UW campus and people aren't, giving you the time of day. If you're an African American kid, especially in a first generation college circumstance, and you don't have encouragement from people. And frankly, if you're from a working class, any family of any ethnicity and any race, that you're first generation, you absolutely do need some kind of ease of entry into the system. It can be overwhelming. And your point is an excellent one. It also deals with accommodations. I mean, I knew people who were deaf. They had to be given certain computers, and then they would type out the response. You mentioned David Boies. Quite a prominent lawyer. He started his own firm. He did the IBM case. He did Gore v. Bush. He did a lot of cases. One of the best lawyers in the country. Ted Olson on the other side, the right wing side, but he was an absolutely ethical person. So with DEI, the concern that I have, to be very, very candid with you, is that DEI right now, the things I would like to see are more people, indigenous people, African-American people, and so on. But as a result of a lot of DEI programs, the African-American population in the UW system has gone from 2 to 3%. That's totally unacceptable. And the indigenous population has hardly moved at all. The Latino population has moved. a lot of the bad news that DEI is attracting is what we see at Harvard, at Yale, and these places, where it's really a cover for anti-Semitism. And that's a totally separate issue, and that's not what Voss is saying. But I think that DEI programs, we deserve to drill below the surface and make sure that we're doing a lot better with encouraging and facilitating African-American kids, indigenous people, people with certain physical and other handicaps to overcome them. So as usual, Joe, a great call. Thank you very much. Okay, Cam of Nina. Thanks for calling, Cam. What's on your mind today?
Hey, I want to thank the previous caller. I believe her name, like you just said, was Joe, right? I recognize her voice. Usually everything when she is on the radio, she is well-versed, well-researched. I want to comment on maybe doing the devil's advocate here, not that that show is on later, right? I have dyslexia. I can confirm for Rhea. I mean, that's it's obnoxious to have to deal with everything I have to use for, because I work in IT for government, needs to be color-coded and so I can do pattern recognition rather than just skimming through and reading it like everyone else does. There are ways to cope with it. The issue that I wanted to play devil's advocate with, though, is I know Ron Johnson and the likes use extreme language because it riles up their base, but I do think, I know there is an issue with how some of the hiring policies work at places too that adopt similar stances to like this education one. I don't think it's bad that it gets opened up at all to other people, but some of these more closed-minded people, when they hear that these education systems are being opened up to other races, they hear, oh, so now because I'm white, I'm being kept from this opportunity. When no, that's not exactly true, but in some cases it does happen. Like hiring processes for the government are messed up at the moment. They get vetted through HR first rather than any of the hiring managers who know what skills they're looking for. HR does not. They just see a list of people that, oh, well, this person probably has an ethnicity that's not white. I'm going to lump them in. And that's what they do. They hand a stack to the hiring manager and say, who do you want out of this? When that doesn't necessarily mean that they're the best candidate. So pushing people's actual worries aside, not Ron Johnson, no one cares about him, pushing people's actual worries about these systems aside, I think might be a little bit disingenuous. Not that I'm saying that you are, but I know that that can be the argument. It just gets avoided talking about how we can improve the system to prevent stuff like that from happening.
That's a very good call and a very nuanced call. And it's funny because there's a, in one of the British newspapers this morning, there was an account, there's a company over in the UK, the CEO is a woman, and she has decreed that nobody can hire anybody who is a white male without her specific consent. Now, that's a one-off, you know, that's not normal, and obviously don't countenance it. But I think what you're getting at is that in some extreme cases, there can be DEI managers who do the wrong thing, and that is exactly true. But I can tell you from personal experience, having had a buddy who is an indigenous guy at the UW Law School in the 70s, the overwhelming loneliness and sense of isolation without DEI programs for people who are African-American, who are indigenous, Latino, and so on, is very, very real. And I think the answer is not to get rid of DEI programs, but to scrutinize them and make sure that they are not being abused. But I think the instance of abuse, and I've talked about anti-Semitism out east, that is happening too. That's got to be weeded out. But what's essential, I think, is to keep the good of the programs and weed out the bad. Thank you so much. Okay, coming up, you won't believe what Kevin McCarthy did and said to Matt Gaetz. I see you in the lines. Do not hang up. I'll get to you very shortly.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together.
Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
93.5 The Tap.
Hack Diamonds, where they want you.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the water.
Lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Kurt of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. Kurt, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, if you don't mind, I'd like to make a comment to the previous caller. You know, I can tell he's a younger person, and a tip of the hat to him. I had tons of learning disabilities growing up, and it wasn't until I got much older and made some accomplishments. I got an ARCOM for solving a rotor head conversion when I was stationed in Alaska. He's right about everything he said, and sadly, you know, I'm in my 60s. It's going to get a lot worse for people like him and I. Well, not me so much more. I don't have to worry about finding another job. But now with the way HR and corporations do their filtering for resumes and trying, you know, to understand the background, it's become so much more difficult. The people in HR positions are young people. They have zero technical background. They use special software to get through the resume, to look for keywords, and it really paints a zero-sum gain picture of any individual applying for a job. So I am very frustrated with this in the reference of, and I apologize for extrapolating it this way, but one of the biggest problems I constantly see in my mind's eye is people's inability to really understand what critical thinking is, how to learn. I'm at a loss on how to solve it other than bring civics back, have lawyers and historians come in on a regular basis to challenge students on the thinking process. My father was an attorney. I couldn't make him happy to save my life. I got low grades my entire life. But I was surrounded by friends who are lawyers. And if you really want to test your mettle for understanding things and being able to articulate an argument, have a discussion with an attorney or a historian, and it'll force you to really think through what it is you're going to say, how you're going to say it, and how you're going to argue your position. I apologize for a mishmash, but that's the thoughts based on listening to your show today. Thanks.
That was a very good call, Kurt, and I'd encourage you to call more frequently, and Cam's call as well. And there are instances in which somebody will use the word DEI as if it's a talismanic sacred thing and use it for bad purposes and to abuse. And I think that merits a great deal more discussion, a great deal more inquiry. I think that the fundamental desire of people that advocate for DEI positions is sound. I think that, I'll repeat again, the instance of African-American kids in the UW system went from 2 to 3%, despite all the foofra, and indigenous people about the same. And that is what I'm most concerned about. So it may be that all these DEI programs are going to have to be overhauled. I mean, quite frankly, overhauled. And you can't have non-technical people who don't know what they're doing just using keywords from resumes and assigning things by race and ethnicity automatically. And secondly, the result has also been the importation of a lot of people from other cultures that are frankly anti-Semitic. They're violent in a sectarian and racial sense. And they have led to extreme anti-Semitism at Harvard, at University of Pennsylvania, at Columbia, Cornell, NYU, and elsewhere. That's got to stop. That's got to stop. But I don't think that's what Robin Voss was getting at. I think he was getting at anything, even the good in these programs. And I think that's wrong, too. I want to quickly, Matt Gaetz, this is great. Kevin McCarthy's on his way out. His last day in Congress is New Year's Eve. He'll get paid up till New Year's Eve. That's it. So he has just come out, and they asked him what he thought about Matt Gaetz. Now, Matt Gaetz is the guy. Matt Gaetz is a sociopath, by the way, but Matt Gaetz is the guy who declared the chair vacant and then ginned up a total of 8 Republicans to knife him, and with the Democrats, he got thrown out, and he's no longer Speaker. Here's what he said. Matt Gaetz was psychotic. People study the kind of crazy mind, right? Mainly the FBI. That's Matt Gaetz. They would study him. We have a cross-section in the delegation. You have Gaetz, who belongs in jail, and you have serious members. And Gaetz replied, you know, you think about, and this is the ruling party for the Pete's sake. And Gaetz replies, those are tough words from a guy who sucker punches people in the back. And he's referring to when McCarthy went down the hallway, he saw a guy named Tim Burchett of Tennessee, another right-wing nut. And Burchett has been his guy, had been a friend of McCarthy. But Gaetz seduced him away, and Gaetz and Burchett voted to throw McCarthy out. McCarthy's a vengeful guy. And as he walked by Burchett in the hallway, he gave him an elbow on the kidney. You know, I don't know why I laugh. I mean, really, is there anything to laugh at? No, there's not a lot to laugh at when you have a handful of right-wing nuts in control of the Congress. And it's not because there isn't a good working bipartisan majority. Look at the National Defense Association Act. Look at anything. But there are procedural rules. And in the Senate, it's unanimous consent, and it's filibuster, and it's the House. It's one person can vacate the chair that is holding back this bipartisan coalition. And frankly, in a bipartisan coalition, each give a little bit, but they've also got to stand up against those rules. They've got to reverse this business of one person can designate the chair vacant. They've got to get rid of unanimous consent. And if there aren't 9 Republicans who are going to stand up to Tommy Tuberville and agree to even promote our own military, something's got to be done. And I would challenge everybody up for election and everybody, whatever party you favor, you talk to them and you say, what are you going to do in the Senate to stop Tommy Tuberville from promoting people for 10 months? And what are you going to do in the House for making the chair vacant? We're coming to the end of the show. Great callers as always. Everybody have a great weekend. Matt Flynn Direct, we'll be back same time, same place Monday. I'm signing off for today.
Changing.
Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown
and all of Wisconsin.
93.5, The Tap. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Glasgow's Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Earl Ingram was giving Thanksgiving turkey cooking tips. Apparently, if you use your thumb and put an imprint on the turkey breast, if it bounces back, it's fresh. If it doesn't, it's frozen.
If you see a guy wandering around a grocery store in Madison doing things to turkeys, you'll know who it is.
I just gotta find myself a freshie.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report.